Hey everyone, welcome back to Anavision Chat. This is episode 2, recording for June 25th, 2017. And I have two guests with me, J-Ro.
Hello, Fosh.
Yep, hey, what's up? And I have Steve.
Hey, what's up?
Oh yeah, almost a little bit. I'm not everybody, but, you know, most of us are here.
quick question. Yeah. Did you introduce the last episode as Anavision Chat?
No, I did not.
So in case people were wondering why the name change, it's because when I was making the icon for the previous name, which was what, Corner, I was like,
oh yes,
I can't make a good icon to make Anavision Corner work, so I was like, fuck it, let's change it to Chat.
Right, make it work. I like it better than corner was, because when I was drawing it, I was trying to draw the 2-4. I was like, this is hard to fit.
Yeah, Chat works great.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so we're going to talk about, I guess, the kind of a wrap up of the current season, the spring season. So we're talking about shows that have ended, some that aren't really over yet, but maybe have one final episode left that hasn't aired. But so yeah, it's a mix of everything here. But we'll get some news first. I guess Sogeki no Soma is getting a third season, which I'm excited for. I don't know how you guys are. I think you read the manga, don't you?
Yeah, I do read the manga. And I kind of gave up the anime midway through the second season, but it's still good to see that it's getting more anime. That means good things for the franchise.
Yeah, it's amazing that the third season, I'm like, yeah, it must be a very popular series.
I watched the first season, and like when the second season started, I just, for some reason, like, I really struggled to finish the first season. I think that's why I ended up never watching the second season. It was like, I had like 5 episodes left, and I was like, I gotta watch this just to finish it. And I just kind of slugged through them. I think the show overall isn't bad. It just kind of lost appeal to me generally.
Yeah, I think it generally loses steam when it's not doing the cooking elements of the show. When it's just doing the slice of life, silly stuff, it's like it doesn't really, you know, fit very well. When they do the cooking stuff, that's when it gets intense, but it also ends too fast. When it's just starting to get good, you know.
For me, it's more the opposite. I think.
Oh, really?
Let's face it. This show is a sports anime. It might be about cooking, but it's basically the same structure as any old sports anime. And for me, what lives and dies when it comes to sports anime is whether or not I find the sport part of it interesting. Because what's the name of the show? The show with the volleyball guys, Haikyuu. I cannot find volleyball interesting, at least not the way they present it. I mean, and trust me, it's anime can make anything. Anime made Go look interesting. I like that series. But, I just couldn't, like, I love the characters in Haikyuu, and I love the everything about the show in that aspect. I just could not get behind the sport part, which is what made me lose fairly big interest in the show. And that's the same with this one. It's just the cooking part I just found kind of boring. Like, yeah, it was funny when they had the reactions, but it's just like, I just couldn't really get behind it.
Right, yeah, I can understand that. But for me, sports anime has to be, and it keeps my attention if the characters are interesting. If they're not interesting, then I don't really care about the show anymore. But yeah. Speaking of sports, yeah, Mr. Petal getting a fourth season. I'm like, no surprise there, obviously. I dropped it after season 2.
Yeah, I dropped it. I dropped about 4 episodes into season 2 as well. I really did enjoy season 1, but I kind of talked about this on the Anavision podcast. There were times where I got like 3 or 4 episodes behind, and I even accidentally like skipped an episode and didn't even recognize I skipped it. So it felt like sometimes the races just dragged on and on and on. And I feel like the show itself isn't bad. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, but not quite as the level. I just feel like the race has kind of got a little bit old for me. But overall, like, I wouldn't mind picking it back up. So I wouldn't necessarily count it completely out for me. It's just I just lost some interest of it. And then, like, I noticed I was, like, 10 episodes behind. And I was like, I don't really feel like catching up, so.
Right. It got interesting when they brought this kid who has, like, this weird-looking frog-looking face. And he has, like, this long tongue. When they brought him in the cast, it was pretty funny because he was just, he was aggravating all the other racers, and you would just be a kind of this mini villain. But after that, it's kind of like, I don't really, you know, I consider they won the first race. I'm like, I'm done with that. You know, I can stop right there. I don't need to see anymore. But yeah, I mean, it's cool that people is getting a fourth season. That's really rare.
Yeah.
With sports, I think.
I think just to be fair, though, like, that first 2 seasons were, it's like a nice complete package too. So
yeah.
I feel like that's another reason why I didn't really need to get into it, because it's like, if they never made another episode, I would have been happy with the series as it was.
Then there's like two movies, I think, and a stage play, and it's got fans obviously somewhere, so it's out there. I guess our last bit of news is Berserk manga is back on hiatus till I guess around winter. I haven't read Berserk, but I also hear it happens a lot with this series. It comes and goes frequently.
Right, yeah, pretty much similar to Hunter x Hunter, which will be coming back, I think, soon, if not in this next issue of Shonen Jump.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, that's coming back. But, like, how long do you think it's going to be there? For maybe, like, 3 or 4 chapters and then go back on another?
Well, I don't know. I was looking at when there's a Dragon Quest game coming out in August. So,
yeah.
So maybe sometime around then, strategically. But yeah, I mean, for real though, it seems like just the back issues that he's had has just been very weighing on him.
Yeah, it sucks. I guess we're jumping into our spring discussion of the shows that kind of, like I said, some are finished, some are not. We'll start with Eromanga Sensei. I guess, Steve, you want to talk about this? Start off.
I honestly, like, this show, I feel like, has moments where I really like it, and then has moments where I really don't like it. I think, to begin with, I never really got behind Sagiri. Sagiri, how do you say your name? I never liked the little sister that much. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, she was actually probably the worst of the girls, which is a bad thing to say considering she's the main girl. So for me, I just never could get behind her as a character, and I never really found her. Like, I know they were trying super hard to make her so adorable and everything, and you could tell even with the animation, the way they were, you know, having her expressions, like they were hitting the people, like, you know, Armor, who's not here, but, you know, the oh, she's so adorable kind of people.
Yeah,
like
SysCon.
they were hitting that hard. And in my opinion, like, I like Elf Sensei better. I mean, I can't think of her name, but even like the class president girl, I liked her better. She was funny. I just didn't really get behind Sagiri as a character. So a lot of the stuff when it dealt with her, I wasn't super interested. But like the episodes where it was completely about Elf Sensei, and they even redid the ending or they redid the title even, instead of calling it, you know, Eromanga Sensei, it was Yamada Sensei. Like, it was called Yamada Sensei episode. So I really enjoyed that. Like, that episode to me was very good. And even the following one, when Sagiri wasn't really in the episodes that much, I just really enjoyed those episodes more. So, I mean, overall, not a bad show. I didn't hate it. If they do a sequel, I'll probably watch it. I think when we did the start of the season, one of the big things we said was there are not a lot of comedies. So this series, you know, had that kind of in the bag as, why would I watch this show? Just simply because it was kind of a lack of comedic stuff going on. And while this isn't a straight comedy, I think out of all the stuff we're going to talk about today, this is the most like a comedy that we've had. So,
yeah, it's kind of the comical moments. A lot of it involves Sagiri doing her drawing or getting the girls to pose for her and all that. Usually have the funny moments in it. I kind of agree with you that Elf Sensei episode is probably the best of this series. She's one of the funner characters I like. I don't know. The Masarumi, the other girl, that she kind of fell in love with him at a random. I felt they shoved that in there out of nowhere. Like, you meet him day one, next episode you see she's already confessing to him. I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand the passage of time here. Is it a month since then or what?
I personally would say that she started out as my least favorite character. I thought she was kind of stupid, but I will say as the series progressed, I kind of liked her more. I think her obsession with Izumi was just kind of nice. It was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. So I felt like as the series progressed, I tended to like her character more. But for sure, I think at the start, I definitely was kind of like not really into her at all. I thought she was kind of stupid, you know, the whole, oh, I hate you punch, and no, I'm going to crush you, you know. It's just that whole attitude didn't really quite click with me at first, and then she kind of just grew on me over time.
Yeah, I think it's the moment when she realizes who he is. She's like, oh, crap, she actually likes him. And, I mean, I could buy that. I mean, meeting your idol you would be looked up to, maybe you'd be that way. But to her, it was just so sudden. This crush came out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, I guess. But I guess that's with all light novel adaptations. you know, all the girls eventually ended up liking the main guy, which it was an annoying part of this show I didn't like. I mean, Elf I could understand because they spent so much time together.
Yeah,
they lived together, lived next door, and right, their relationship makes more sense than the other girl, who was like didn't really hang out with him very much, but yeah.
It was also.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say also just one last thing. I thought it was nice how they did a cameo with the My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute group. So I thought that was kind of a nice little touch they did.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But me, I was like, I knew the writer created that series in this series. So yeah. I'm like, they gotta do something. So it was surprising to see them. But yeah, it's kind of funny how they both exist in the same world. So, and like the last thing I'll mention is like some of the art moments, like when she's, you know, the guy's figuring out that everything in her manga or whatever is like, wait a minute, she's been, if that's her taking poses of herself, then it's like, he's actually been lusting after her the whole time. Like, oh crap. Because she makes a comment that she can't draw busty girls in the beginning, that she has to have reference. And he's like, and then he realizes, oh crap. Final was pretty funny when she would draw on an H manga, and she was trying to figure out where things went, and he just couldn't tell her truth about her designs.
Two last things I'll mention. First off, very disappointed her mother's dead, because when we had the one little flashback, first off, that was one of the parts, like, I didn't like the flashback episode, because to me, I get it, there's got to be something where it's coincidental when the main characters get to know each other, but to me, like, the coincidence in her becoming a fan of his when they were little kids and then their parents meeting and marrying was just too much. Like, I was like, that is way ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but yeah, it is true.
But I will say this, I love the mother character. She was not in there very long. I was like, man, I wish she was in the series. I like her. The mother was great. Maybe eventually they'll get to more, because another thing I will say about the show, the ending, and this is the last thing, didn't feel like an ending.
No.
You know, it was like, it didn't even end in a way where you're like, oh yeah. It literally ended like there's going to be a next episode next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't feel like any kind of conclusive at all. Like, there's nothing there. Not even like a short monologue being like, I'm glad she's grown so much. It was just, oh, hey, Sagari is finally waving out the window and saying goodbye. Like, and that's it. Like, that's it. There wasn't anything else. And it's just literally like, oh, is there going to be another episode? Or the next season? Like, what's happening? Because it just felt so inconclusive. So.
Right. Yeah, I could see like an OVA coming out of this later. You know, the guy who's open. But yeah, I like it. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. But if you want to, like you said, limited choice of comedy this season, this is maybe one of the ones you could probably go for. But
I'll also admit that I'm not a huge fan of My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute.
Yeah,
like, I was okay with the show. I watched it. So in my opinion, if you really like that show and you haven't seen this one, what's your problem?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're basically very much similar in style and so
even material they play off of. You know, they have sexual jokes here and there and do all this kind of stuff. But yeah. Next is Sageki no Bahamut, Virgin Soul. This is Bahamut Season 2. This, jump into it. It's 10 years later. It's the first series, and kind of more of the same. Just, you know, but I think this time, the humans are they have some kind of power source that they have hidden, so they can take out angels and demons with no problem. Whereas the first season was in reverse. The demons had the power, but this time the humans do. So at the latest episode, they had the angels kind of, I guess, take back the kingdom because no one's worshiping them and are doing anything with them. So they feel the humans are abusing the power. So they came down there and put a stop to it and basically killed a bunch of people. So it's like, it got interesting so far, but it's more of the same as the first season, just fantasy, over the top, silly antics and all that. But then this season introduced a new character, Nina, a half human, half dragon, who can, I guess, when she gets sexually aroused or whatever, she can transform into a dragon. And I don't think she has control over that. But yeah, that's a funny addition to the series, just this character.
So the dragon is trying to hump somebody?
Pretty much. I mean, if she finds a guy super attractive and she gets embarrassed, she will transform into a dragon.
Oh, okay. I see how you're saying. Okay, I thought it was like every time she turned into a dragon, she got sexually aroused. I was like,
no,
well, that's
what,
super
like the,
weird.
yeah, that's like the trigger for it. So if she finds
Okay.
a guy super attractive and
Gotcha, gotcha.
it gets too close to her, she will transform it, you know, destroy this half the city. But yeah, Bahamut's an interesting show. I mean, I really like how they talk about the first season, and Favreau and the other guy, they pop up later on, which they're like the highlight of the series for me anyway. But yeah, so far it's going good. It's not over yet in these 12 more episodes. I'm kind of confused because like they're at a point now in the series where it could end now. I'm like, it could end next week. So I'm curious what they're going to do.
Was the first season 12 episodes or also 25?
Yeah, I think it was 12, yeah.
All right.
So it's kind of interesting. But I guess
I've seen the opening and it's like a crazy metal song. Is that indicative of like the show's tone or is it just like a interesting song choice?
I think it's just song choice.
All right.
I think, I don't think it's like it's not as intense and as fighting and anything.
It's like Recreator's ending. It's such a great slice of life ending picture that the show itself is nothing. Like,
right.
Anime characters are just like us.
Or like Gakko Garashi when they had that series airing. It's a happy opening, but it's really dark content in the series.
Right, right.
But yeah, I'm talking about Eccentric Family too. Jero, you can talk about this first if you want.
Yeah, so season two of Eccentric Family turned out to be very good after some initial slight concerns about what kind of content we would be getting in season two. But I think the whole story of the Trick Magister and Yaichiro, I always have to remember the names of because they're all similar, Yaichiro, Yajiro.
Yeah, yes.
Yasuburo.
Yeah, Yasuburo. He's the most unique of all the names. But yeah, of Yaichiro becoming a Trick Magister, and then Soun getting in there, and Tenmaya kind of being like the antagonist, along with the the older guy's name?
Soun
is the dad, but the older guy that kind of had the painting of hell.
Right, yeah, I don't know who he was.
I don't remember his name.
Super old Chinese-looking dude. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Right, yeah.
He has a big pointy beard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy guy.
But how all of that came in together and adding all these new characters like Tenmaya and Nidaime was very interesting, and I was very surprised that in the last episode we had basically a full-out battle between Nidaime and Benten. And
that was interesting. I was like sitting there watching him, like, so I'm getting comedy, the feels, and I'm getting Dragon Ball Z in the last episode.
Right.
They're just beating the hell out of each other. I'm like, well, but for me, that was a highlight. I'm like, finally, you know, for like the longest time since I started watching season one and season two, so it's like I got, you know, basically two whole seasons. Kind of, I was just wanting Benten to kind of unleash her power and show off what she can do, even though we saw that in the last episode, not much, but still, it was nice to see her do something. You know,
mm-hmm. They always talk about the Tengu being dangerous, and I don't really think we really had any great example of that until now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Exactly.
I get it now.
The whole time I'm watching the whole series, I'm like, these Tengu aren't, they don't really seem like they're badasses to me at all. They did a flashback of his, you know, the sensei when he was younger. That was cool, but we didn't see anything after that. Like, okay, there are these powerful people that don't really display any of the power, but now we've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I guess you can see why you don't want to piss them off.
Yeah, I really liked this season. I thought it came together very well. I felt like the midsection was super great. To me, I feel like it's got amazing characters. Like, and I feel like that's one thing that feeds. Is Yasuburo is like the king, you know? He's like so interesting to watch, and seeing him kind of weave the puzzle together, you know, always talking to him about, you know, he's, you know, he got idiot's blood, but just the way it works is just perfect. And I love that. And one of the things I really liked, and even in the season, the final episode really covered it. The last two, I'd say, actually really covered it, is just that relationship between Yasuburo and Benten is just, it's so great, because it's one of those things where I think some people be like, oh, they're going to get together or not. Mm. But I just kind of love that whole it's kind of forbidden thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like they could easily play onto that later, too. Because they're now finally pushing the relationship between him, Yasuburo, and Kaisei.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that, you know, if they do, you know, future seasons and whatnot or stories, I don't really know how. I know there's some light novel manga stuff about this series. I don't really know too much about what's going on there, but it definitely feels like they could do more. But like if they could even play into the fact that that as a relationship later too, but just that relationship, even the last one, the last episode where she's like, "Are you gonna pity me?" He's like, "Yeah, I pity you. I really mm-hmm. pity you." And it's just yeah. him like kind of petting her. In just that way, is this kind of like, and he's you know, inner monologue. I know I can't be with her. Is this, and then it kind of makes you hurt a little bit. Yeah, he's got mm-hmm. Kaisei, but you could definitely tell, you know, where his a lot of his feelings lie.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I just really like that aspect of the show, and neat anime, especially like you know the way he's clashing with Ben 10 throughout the whole season was just so good. So. Mm-hmm. Definitely one of those shows where it's like, if you're not, you really, like, this is a great series. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic.
It's interesting to see how her story kind of concludes in comparison to everybody else. They have a little bit of closure, like even with Idaime. But mm-hmm. Ben 10 just gets beat. And then she's left with burnt hair.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it definitely feels like there's something that they haven't covered yet. It's just simply because it feels like there's definitely something there that they haven't talked about, because it didn't feel as like even the season where season one ended, you know, you got a better recollection of this, Fosh, but just where that ended felt way more conclusive than where this season ended.
Right. That ended. She's like, "I'm going on our trip. See you later." And leaves, basically leaves them. But yeah, her and Yasuo, they have this very flirty relationship. You know, she obviously wants, she likes the idea of playing around with them, you know, and that kind of stuff. But them getting together, yeah, it kind of does feel that way a little bit. Like, they always do hang it over those two characters' heads when they're together. They're mm-hmm. so fun and flirty together that she always think that she's going to go that far. But it's like, no, she just likes to have a plaything, I guess.
And I don't know. It's like
what Yasuo is right now.
The way she cried, you know,
right,
she
yes,
thought yeah. she had to actually eat him.
Uh-huh.
You know, that whole sequence, really, I felt like, showcase right. some of her feelings there.
She does that, yeah, in season one, she does the same thing where she, mm-hmm. it's the day up, day before that goes down, she cries, and he's like, he sees her crying, but he doesn't say anything. So, yeah, you can definitely tell he does, you know, she's not as cold as people think she is towards mm-hmm. The Tanuki. But, yeah, I thought her and Nadami, I thought, like, the scene where he's about to, you know, burn her hair, I thought he was going to kiss her. I'm like, are these two going to make out in the sky?
Yeah, kind of like a little hate. Each other.
Yeah, I was like, that's why I was thinking with those two. Because Yasuo made a comment that when he was consoling her that he's not the one that she needs. So there's someone else out there she needs. Which I'm thinking that maybe that's Nadame.
Yeah, they're definitely building relationships. Because that was another thing I was actually going to mention a little bit, was that they, in the last episode, they suddenly talk about why Nadame and Akadama, you know, originally fought, and there's obviously a girl there, and he's like, Ben 10's a lot like her, but yet you don't get anything about her other than she left him, you right. know. So I feel like that's another kind of hanging thread that they haven't covered yet. So
she kind of looks like Ben 10 a little bit too. Yeah. Her design, I was like, wait a minute, maybe that's why. But yeah, I guess that's she's an interesting character. I still like her. So I'm wondering if they do a third season, what they will do with her, you know. And if they reveal anything about her, you know, like that. So I think I would say the only thing I didn't really care for is the overuse of the same plot from the first season. I didn't really care that they used the same, oh, we're going to eat someone at the end of the year. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's going to be Yasuburo again a bit. And it was like, oh, God.
Well, it is kind of the number one fear of Tanuki, is that they're going to end up in a hot pot. So
yeah, I couldn't see them doing anything different, but I was a little disappointed they didn't try something a little different than they did the first time. But I guess maybe the big fight between the two Tengu was kind of interesting. Yeah, that was the difference of the
first. The central villain was technically the same in both seasons, too. It was Sohn, so...
Friday,
yeah, well, when they revealed he was still alive, I was like, God damn, I'm so mad. I was like, of course, yeah, he's still alive. And then the pact between the two families, there, we're not going to fight anymore. I was like, that's not going to last. And sure enough, it didn't last.
Yeah, it was pretty good how they brought in Yajiro's trip to, I forget where at in Japan he went to, but how they brought in like his, so they brought in his kind of self-discovery and combined that with the ongoing events in Kyoto with him coming back and bringing back the real Ibisugawara.
That was a little weird for me too. I'm like, he just so happens to be at this place he's visiting. Like, oh, there he is. Next room. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. But I knew they had to do something like that. Like, it wouldn't be, you know, they can't make it to it. Not like, oh, ran to him in the middle of a street somewhere. They could have done that. But either way, it still felt kind of like, oh, wait, he's right there. Like, oh, well, it works episode wise, I guess.
That's another thing, too. They also introduce a new character there, too. That apparently has some sort of connection to their father. So, again, the stuff that I'm curious about, and, you know, we'll see.
And Kaisei, her reveal that when he sees her, he turns back to Tsuneki.
Oh, I like that.
It's hilarious.
That is
so funny.
Because that was something I never quite got. Like, it was why does he never show himself to her? And that was actually one of the sticking points I had. You know, part of the way through the season is like, because Kaisei is, I guess you could say, next to Benten, kind of like the major love interest for Yasuburo. So I never really liked the fact, like, why is he the love interest and they can never meet? And then that whole reveal, I thought, was, oh, and that kind of made me kind of like fall more in line with the character. So
right. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, now it clicked to me when I knew who was going to get caught this season for the hot pot. I'm like, oh, obviously. That's going to happen because he can't transform when he sees her, so that's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. I did like the little mini-villain, the demon, I guess, that character. He was kind of interesting, but he also got annoying in the first couple of scenes I've seen him in. But I'm like, I guess that's his role. He is this creeper that...
He's the wrench. He's the guy that you throw the wrench in the works. He's that guy, so...
Right, yeah, I hated him, but it was very satisfying in the ending when both of them got dragged to hell. I was like, thank you.
Right, yeah.
thank God for that, because I could... But it was interesting, like, to throw him in there just to give him someone to kind of hate on. But Soon was also the same guy. I didn't really like him either. Their uncle, I'm like, geez, this guy is so bad. But right. I guess that's the point of those characters. You know, you got to have some kind of antagonist to get the plot rolling. But yeah, any last thoughts? I mean, I thought it was a pretty good series after watching, like, I think, you know, two seasons back to back. It was interesting. I like the characters. I mean, the characters, I think, were the biggest selling point. The frog character, especially. I like that that brother. He was one of the more interesting characters, I thought. Mm-hmm. But Yasuburo being the main, how he kind of, like, is weaving everything together on the fly, how they make it seem.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
They were able to balance quite a lot in 12 episodes, bring in some new characters like Gyokuron and Tenmaya and the Nidaime, and have all these interesting stories with the core cast of characters that we've seen, what you would call the eccentric family of the Yasuburo and all them.
Yeah, we'll say Nidaime had the best looking outfit, just that top hat. And
I love the music.
He looks so awesome. He's a pretty fun character. But I think the sad part when he has that breakdown, I was like, I felt bad for the guy. I'm like, damn, he's just trying to have these people do a ceremony at his house, and they blow his fucking house. I'm like, well, oh yeah, that's the last thing I mentioned. The level of destruction they have in this series made me laugh too. Just smashing the things, like when they had the triple decker bus smashing the guy's house. I was like, oh my god, this is so destructive. I wasn't expecting that from this series, but I think it was a good highlight. That, and like when they enter a room, it's like the outside's a train. When they enter like a hot spring, I thought that was visually was interesting how they could do that.
Right.
I haven't seen that used in, like, very much in some animes, but it's cool seeing that the outside is just, when you walk in, it's just completely different. So I thought those were pretty interesting. All right, let's talk about Attack on Titan Season 2. Steve, you want to lead on that one?
Amazing season. I think a lot of, like, one of the biggest pushing points that we were, at least the core Anivision, I'm not sure where you stood on that, Fosh. Season 1 we thought was overhyped a little bit. We thought, there were some great moments in season 1, but as a total package, you know, it was all right at best, because there were so many points in the show where you're just like, all right, get on with it. Just, I'm kind of bored with what's going on. This is just, you know, it just didn't quite click with me. While this season started high and did not let up. I think maybe I give it actually. There was, I think there was one episode in the middle where it was a little slow, but overall it was just a fantastic season, not just for action, but for discovery, story, and characters. And I found myself completely engrossed in this season. And this is like, if the season one was like this, I would have been in love with season one as much. I mean, again, I didn't hate season one. I just thought it was overrated because so many people were like, this show is one of the best ever. But I was like, eh. But with this, it's like, I get it. You know, this easily fantastic in terms of quality, action, and just the characters. I love the characters and kind of like the twist. While somewhat predictable and to some effect, I think a lot of us saw that, you know, it was definitely going to end up being what's his face, the short haired guy, was going to armor demon, especially once they revealed
Reinhardt.
Yeah. It's like a video game. no, but once they revealed Anne was, you know, that was the female Titan, it was like, oh, for sure, Reiner's the armor Titan.
Okay, yeah, just, they look like that. Therefore, okay.
Right. Yeah, so it was pretty clear. I feel so that was somewhat coming. I mentioned this, you know, when we talked about this, you know, earlier in the Animation podcast, but I still love it. I read a lot of people complaining and hated it. I just loved how casual they were about it, you know, how there was a secondary conversation going on, and Reiner's like, hey, I'm the Armored Titan, and he's the big guy.
That was so funny.
I was like, that to me was just so great. And, you know, of course, you have Aaron sitting there like, what are you guys talking about? And Mikasa's got like, you know, I'm going to go murder these fools right now. You know, right. I just, that to me was such a great scene because of the casual nature of it. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, I like how that was like that. Yeah.
I really like the ending though, the final episode, and just in general, like the reveal of how Aaron has some sort of crazy power to control the Titans. Like, I could see such great things going from that in the future. So definitely super excited. And they already announced, you know, hey, another season next year. So knowing that and, you know, seeing how great this season was has me super pumped.
Unless they pull another, like, oh, wait, 4 years later, like, still have this production company. But yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you one question. Do you think 12 episodes benefits the series, or you would rather have 24 to get it all out of the way right now?
I think it's a product of its publication. Uh-huh. And I feel like, would I like 24 episodes? Yeah, but I can't expect that, being the fact that 12 episodes is a full year of publication.
Right.
So, knowing that, you know, it's not like Naruto or, you know, even like, you know, Hero Academy, where, you know, you have, you know, four chapters a week, which they could probably adapt in, or four chapters a month, which they could probably adapt into two, maybe even three episodes, depending on the, you know, what's in the chapters themselves. Right. So knowing that, I will take 12 episodes just simply because I'd rather have that than have to wait 4 years for another season.
Knowing as much as I do, having read some of the manga, I think thematically it isn't that bad of a thing to have only 12 episodes this year, because of you see the way that this arc ends, and then the next arc it gets into different things. So I think it kind of works out.
Yeah, I think this is where I don't really know any spoilers, but it's a very political part of this manga, where there's a lot of like in humans on humans talking and discussing about the future and all that. And with Aaron being revealed to have this power, obviously, you can probably see why people would want him, either on their side or the other side. And it kind of makes sense why the Armored Titan, all of them want Aaron. If he can control Titans, that's
right.
Basically the ultimate weapon in this universe. So, yeah, but yeah, I think 12 benefits just a little bit better, because I think if they got 24, you would get in these cool action moments, but then you get four episodes back-to-back, or two episodes, whatever, of just talking in a room. Like, oh, well, this is boring.
How are we going to throw this rock in the hole?
Right, exactly. Let's plan it and strategize, and three episodes later, they finally do it. So,
yeah, it might be something where it might benefit the anime to be put into a situation where you have to be a little faster paced with the
crew. Right, I know a few fans that were kind of butthurt that they weren't very big fans of Hero Academy, and they got 24, but huge fans of Titan, and they got 12, and they felt like, oh, well, that's not good, you know, that must mean my series I like sucks. I'm like, well, not necessarily. I mean, like you said, 12
season one
benefit
got
series, you know.
season one got how many episodes?
24.
Yeah,
Almost
so
25.
25, yeah.
And they had a lot of production issues and problems with that too. So it's like 12 sometimes benefits series better. But I think for some, depending on what type of series it is, if it's an action show, 12, yeah, might benefit as much as others. But yeah, I think this one was a pretty good season so far. I like the reveal. I kind of knew about the Armored Titan and the Colossal Titan. Like, I didn't think I knew about it a couple years back, but I knew that was going to come up in this series. And so I was happy about that. I was excited to see that happen because I was watching my brother. He's never seen it. He was just like, he was basically stunned at that reveal. And I was like, yep, that's pretty much how it was when I learned that too. It's like, no, it's impossible. But it's true because they hang, and the bad part is because they've hung out with them so long that they just, and I thought it was interesting that they can't, later on when they're in the trees with Aaron and the other girl, they're trying to figure out what's real and what's not. He thinks he's a soldier still. So he's just, you know, I guess, been in hiding for so long as a soldier, he just forgot, almost kind of forgot about his Titan life a little bit. So it was interesting seeing that breakdown.
Does make some sense, like, to be perfectly fair. I mean, yeah. when you're undercover, you know, war, yeah, even when you're in war, you know, it's, you get things messed with your head, so.
Right. And you build friendships and all that. So he was confused on which one was the real life. And that was kind of interesting seeing that play out. But it did, animation-wise, it did seem a little weird because, like, his face make all these weird expressions. I'm like, that's kind of strange, but yeah, it works. And then we got the reveal of that third Titan, which I blank on her name. But I didn't really care too much for her. Yeah, Ymir, I didn't really care too much for her at all. I was like, this character's a throwaway character, in my opinion. Just someone I didn't really care about, but
yeah,
they actually kind of turned it around and made it a little bit better.
I thought
her
backstory was good, in my opinion, because
it shed
light, because there's a lot of things you don't, we don't, like, even unless you read the manga, you probably know more, but for those of us who don't read the manga, there's still a lot of things we don't understand about the Titans, but now we got kind of a picture of, hey, you know, maybe the Titans were created, because she obviously was turned into a Titan and thrown over the wall as a punishment, and then having the whole, like, conversation, even again another background conversation, you know, between her and I can't think of his Bertholdt. You know, there was a background conversation at one point. It was like, so how many years were you wandering, you know, that whole it revealed enough about the story that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise, so I do quite like that.
Yeah, it kind of revealed that, you know, Titan, you know, some of the Titans may actually be humans that are just, they just forgot that they're a human, and or may have been asleep for so long, and the astral showed like a pass through time for her too. That we don't even know how long she was asleep for. It could have been like thousands of years before she woke up.
No, she said she was like, she said a number. She said like,
okay.
She said like 40 or 60 or 60. No, she said like 100 years or something. And there was actual number. I don't remember it. I think I'm just making shit up in terms of what number it was. But you did mention a number. She said she was wandering for X amount of time.
I mean, it was kind of, that's kind of a cool reveal that they can actually hibernate and freeze to a point where they can stay, I guess, you know, asleep for that long and then wake up with still looking the same. Kind of interesting reveal.
We don't know whether or not the Titan people inside the Titan age.
Right.
So that's what I think. Not necessarily her hibernating, but it could easily be that this Titan's, you know, when you're in that form, you don't actually get old. I mean, you don't really see old, decrepit Titans. So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're right. Anything else to say about this all season?
My favorite image from this season was Mikasa looking inside as Bertholdt was holding Eren, just with these just wide eyes, like, I want to kill you.
Yeah.
Mikasa has this very, like, yandere side to her, which, minus the murder side, obviously, but she has this very protective side of her for Eren. Anytime he's in danger, it's like, don't mess with her.
I just love the expressions in the show. The expressions in general, like, they know. They know they're being ridiculous. I think that's they're not intentionally being comedic, but I think the people making the show know it's a little bit funny, like the way they do these reactions, and I think they intentionally do that. So
I think that's why I can't read the manga, because the expressions are just so way over the top that I just can't take it serious when I'm reading it.
And it's also
like, this is a little weird. You know,
Isayama isn't really that great of a drawer, to be honest.
He's
got a good story, but he's not the greatest artiste, you know?
And the last thing, I think the Titans, you can tell purposely that some of them are modeled after, like, real people, and some of them are, like, just whatever they wanted to draw at the time, they just drew it. Like,
yeah.
Short, stumpy one. There was one I could have sworn looked like it looked like Tom Cruise to me. I was like, look, just like what that double take for a minute.
That'd be funny. If I was them, yeah, I would do that.
I would do that too. People I didn't really like, call him in there getting as a Titan. And I think it just continues the trend of the first season that they have these ridiculous looking Titans doing ridiculous things, and the way they would. There's one I like that he's leaning on a wall. He's got this. He's giving it this look, like this very seductive look. And I'm like, this is so weird that. But yeah, I think that's where they have the most fun, is part of designing the Titans and getting them to do stupid things.
One last thing I will mention that I kind of thought was ridiculous, which I have to add since I added it, since I mentioned it in Arrow Manga Sensei, just the sheer coincidence that they're miles, miles away from, you know, not just, like, just think, consider this, like, they are miles away from where the original hole was that destroyed, right. Yet let alone anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're beyond the wall, right? So think about it. The original Titan, they kicked in a hole in the wall on the other side of the big circular wall.
Right.
And that's where Eren's mother got eaten. Yet on the other side, completely, you know, probably, as I said, probably like several hundred miles, I wouldn't even be surprised, away from where Eren's mother got eaten. There just so happened to be that one Titan that ate the mother.
Mm, right, yeah.
I was just like, that to me was a little ridiculous. I was like... That is so coincidental. That's crazy.
Yeah, when that Titan appeared, I was like, wait a minute, what? How's this possible? And then that the guy, I guess he's like kind of like their somewhat like adopted dad, whatever you want to call
Hanes,
him.
Yeah.
He gets killed, and they're just like
Hanes.
Yeah, he gets destroyed, and they're just like, okay. And they turn to look at each other, and they start talking. I'm like, his death felt kind of random to me.
It was so anticlimactic. Yeah, it was like, yeah. I'm going to avenge your mother, and then...
He's dead. And Eren just sitting there watching him like, huh.
To be fair, that's kind of what they do in the series, so hey.
Right. And like, everyone kind of...
Everyone is expendable at this point. Except for, in my opinion, you know, I don't expect Eren to die, I don't expect Mikasa to die, and I don't expect Armin to die. At least not anytime soon. Maybe later on in the series, at least Armin could die. I don't expect Mikasa to die because
to me, Armin's like he's the Krillin of the series. That if he died, Eren would probably snap.
Yeah,
and unleash a new power that you've never seen before.
Yeah, I think for Armin, they want him to. They show him obviously as the parallel to Hanji. So, you know, you could see Hanji at some point dying, and then Armin kind of taking on a little bit of the role that he or she plays.
Right, and then, like, Levi didn't do nothing that season.
Yeah.
I was like, he just sat in a room, like, whatever.
Yeah. Every other character I would expect to die, and as I mentioned before, the moment Sasha dies, I will cry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can't have my potato girl dying.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want her dying. Or the, I don't know about the whole thing of the historian, the blonde girl. I'm like, I don't really know. If she died, I probably wouldn't.
I don't really care too much about her.
Her story's kind of meh.
Yeah, like I feel like they're trying to make some huge reveal. Like
yeah, they are. Yeah.
And I honestly was like, who? Like I'm sure I'm missing or forgot some sort of crucial backstory of their family history of the kings or whoever. But like to me, it's like who? It's like to me, I really like the Sasha episode, like that early on episode where she had to fight a Titan with the bow and arrow, and I thought that was just really good.
And then, his story is like, I got my first kill. I'm like, oh my god, you're gonna die. You're terrible at this. But I always thought it was funny, that character, because for me, I'm a Yuri Yuri fan, and it's the same voice actor for Akarin, who has, you know, zero presence in that anime. It's a joke. And same with this series. That girl has, in my opinion, has zero presence. She doesn't really have this, like, impact that other characters do, but maybe they fix it in the third season, make her, you know, make that name at least mean something. So, yeah. Next show, I guess, something completely different. Tsukigai Kirei, The Moon is Beautiful. Steve, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, this is a show where I've been...
People die into Titans in it.
Yeah. Completely. I legitimately have been somewhat surprised about this series because of my thorough enjoyment of it. I kind of mentioned this at the beginning that I love how ordinary this was, but more than that, I just liked the story. I think as the season has progressed, you know, we got one more episode, although, you know, I think a lot of us figure out where it's going. So it's not like it's going to be a huge surprise, whatever happens in the last episode, but just the overall story has been absolutely fantastic. The relationship between Mizuno and Azumi is great. And I feel like it's been handled so well in terms of writing that I've just enjoyed every, like there hasn't been an episode where I watched and was like, oh, whatever. You know, even I guess maybe some of the earlier ones were less interesting, mm-hmm. but as the story has progressed, it's kept its toe on its toes. And one thing I really like is it doesn't fall into those regular tropes. You know, the whole, like, the episode where they go to the theme park was right. That was like, to me, I really liked that because it was so completely understated. You know, we had the whole, you know, in a regular show, what would have happened would we would have had this long drawn out talking to of both the main what's the girl's name, the girl that liked Azumi, Chinatsu. And right, Chinatsu, Nishino, Nishino would have come to Hira, and they would have had this long, drawn-out conversation of, okay, you get Akane, you bring her side, you woo her, I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to make sure me and Azumi stay together all the time, and we're just going to, I'm going to take Azumi, you're going to get Akane, and everything's going to be great, right? It would have been a long, drawn-out thing, but it was not even talked about. You know, even in the end, like, it really wasn't mentioned, you know, in the end of the episode, once, you know, Azumi, you know, gruesome and basically walked up, grabbed Akane and was like,
yeah, that was great.
You know, this is my girlfriend. Step off. You're just like, oh, that's great. And then at the end of the episode, you know, after Nishino has been crying, you know, she goes to Azumi, like, I'm sorry. Like, and you could tell, oh, you go back to it and you think, that was her plan all along,
right?
But they didn't have to sit there and go through all this conversation and plan it out and make it so completely obvious. It was just so subtle and again, felt more realistic, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that part of the show. And it's kept that kind of realism that I really enjoyed. It's just very, very, very good, you know, all around in terms of a romance and keeping that whole thing together. So
right, yeah, I was happy about the series so far. It's more realistic than any romance I've seen lately in the past few seasons. But yeah, the characters are likable, even though, you know, the main guy, he's like, it takes a while for him to get going and actually get close to her. But I think that's what they're going for with that series. They don't want it to be like, oh, if they see each other one day and they like each other automatically. Yeah, it's a very slow build up, and I think it's worth the payoff. You know, when you get to the amusement park, then you get the big payoff episode that they're finally, you know, open about this relationship and they're finally trying to at least pursue it at that point. And he does, like you said, he does get when he sees her with the other guy, he's just like, no, and stops it. So I was impressed by that. Any other show, he probably would have been like very timid and not done that, but he actually stepped up and did that. I would know most shows have been like, oh, I'll just talk about it the next morning and leave it at that. But no, he actually stopped and was like, no, it's not gonna happen. I'm with her, you know that. Yeah, but one thing that annoyed me is this character is that they still had to confess to him because they had to let them know their feelings. I guess that's a thing. So I mean, that's,
yeah, I think that's Japanese. I think
right,
I guess you can't have that. So
yeah, I thought that was a little weird, but I was like, yeah, I've seen that before. But so I was like, so I understand what they're going for it. And I guess the other thing that how fast both characters get jealous of each other. I was like, well, that's, I guess it's somewhat realistic. I mean, you see your first girlfriend with anyone else, you would all make you probably get a little defensive, even though they're just chatting, they're not doing anything.
Well, I think she was chatting with Hira, and I
right.
think, you know, being the fact that he knows he likes her.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I think that jealousy is a little bit like, I get it. Like, maybe not necessarily warranted, but I get why he was jealous. And, you right. know, having their first fight, too, was kind of a nice way to show off, you know, how, you know, you got to fight. You know, as I always say, relationships don't fight, don't love each other. That's kind right. of a, you know, BS thing. But still, if fights are going to happen in any regular relationship. And so that was kind of a nice kind of thing they did. So it's definitely a show where I'm glad it's an original series. You know, it's going to have, you know, all of its, you know, it's going to end somewhat at the, you know, once this is over. We know there's going to be somewhat more of a conclusive ending, but it's definitely one where I wouldn't mind seeing more. I just don't know how they're going to do it. So it's one of those things because, you know, they're graduating middle school. A lot of the characters are going to go away. And I think even some of the side characters have been great. Well, one thing I really love about the show is the little shorts they do at the end of each episode.
Yeah, same here.
They're so great. And they add just to the show because, again, the show is so serious. And then they have, like, those little comedic things that are so fantastic, so.
I think my favorite is the cheap boyfriend one where he's not paying for anything. And the teacher having a crush on the student.
Oh, I that to me was my favorite. My favorite short was definitely the one where they show the guys. The guys are standing there talking. And he's like, oh, man, we did it twice in Kyoto. And he's like, oh, so you went to a love hotel twice? He's like, yeah, she paid. And he is lucky. That is the greatest thing ever. And then it cuts to the girls. Yeah, we went to a love hotel twice. Ugh, what a pervert. Yeah, and I paid both times. Ugh, he's the worst. You know, just that whole, you know, I think it's such a great writing in that terms too, because you could definitely see, like, you could see that they really love playing off the whole, this is what girls think and this is what guys think and how they're so different. You know, even though the one scene, the one short where they had the mother reading the story, the mother and the father reading the story, and the father's like, funny. He gets girls so great. And then the mother reads the story. He doesn't understand girls at all. You know, just, those little things just help the series and make me just like it even more. So I can't wait to see how it ends. And, what all, and if anything is next, that would be great. But if not, this was just a great 12 episode package series that I could highly recommend to anybody, especially with the off season coming up. You know, there's gonna be like a week or so of short of not a lot of stuff to watch. This is definitely something you could pick up and enjoy. So,
right, yeah, overall, nice series. Even the animation is pretty good. It's like almost not very movie quality, but there are moments when it's like really nice, really high detail on everything. But yeah, if you're looking for a romance, I would, like you said, I'd recommend this one.
I'll have to check that out at some point. Give it a second.
And it's something that's not really like, and it's not a fantasy element, it's not a sci-fi element. It's just real life, you know. That's what I feel anyway. But next show we'll talk about is Grand Blue Fantasy, the animation, which is an adaptation of a game that, I guess is a phone game. But I've played a month or two of this game that is just a fun game. It's very addictive. You constantly win. If you win a weapon, you get a character, and you unlock a character, and then you get the story. And then it's very interesting how they've done the game. But for the anime, they've kind of placed it where it's like a typical fantasy anime series. You have a guy saves a mysterious girl in the forest, and they go on this big adventure, picking up people along the way and fighting monsters. And this is the overall plot about the main girl being this experiment. She can control these big gods. And stuff like that. So it's interesting how they've done the story, even though it's kind of similar to the game. I was playing the game and watching the anime. I'm like, this story is very, it's ripped straight from the game. Like, they didn't really adapt it much, but they did throw in some of their anime episodes here and there. But yeah, if you're looking for like a fantasy that's, you know, I think Production IG or A1's working on this one, and it's got very good production on it.
I think it was A1. And I've noted, I've seen that, like, in the first couple episodes, there's some really good animation. Is that something that's persistent?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen 12. There's the 13, which is like a special OVA beach episode. But overall, yeah, I think the animation stayed steadily the same. I didn't really see any drop in, like, animation here and there. So I was surprised on that. Like you were saying, yeah, I would expect it to have some kind of dips here and there that, you know, wouldn't be very good animated. But they kept it pretty much the same throughout the whole series.
So it's like A1's putting their best effort in that series.
Oh yeah, definitely. Right. Then I think the same guys do Bahamut, so it's the same game company. And I know they have a anime company they have working, they're building right now. They're going to start doing more adaptation of their games. So if you're a fan of any of their type of games, they could probably be more anime. But Grand Blue was rumored to have 4 seasons, so they may have a season each maybe each spring that'd be a full 12 episode series of Granblue, because it's kind of like Kunko. There's so many characters, and Granblue has like a lot of characters. There's so many characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're looking for like a pretty good fantasy, that next to Bahamut, I would say this season has very, if you're into the fantasy, there's several great fantasy anime this season that I was surprised that how many I actually liked. Because usually fantasy is not my number one genre I like. Usually like sci-fi way more, but fantasy this season is pretty strong with these, you know, this is a third show that's not on the list, but that I really liked, so. Let's go with Natsumi. I guess, Steve, you watching this, like, this is what, season four? I think
six.
Wow,
a lot more than you think.
I've seen seasons like 1-3, I think. Yeah.
The show, I feel like the second half of the season was way better than the first half. I know you're literally halfway through the season, J. Rowe. So know that at least the second half of the show gets better.
All right.
I did like this show is consistently kind of peaceful to watch. But, you know, the second half of the season, there were some really quality episodes in there because you had the whole – we got to see, I guess, how both – can't think of their names right now – the two friends of Natsume met Natsume for the first time and how they became friends, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah.
So, so we got to meet – we got to see that episode, and that was really good, kind of harking back to the previous season where Toko and Shigeru – made their decision to adopt Natsume, so we got to see that, but this time from the friend's side of things, and I thought that was a really good episode.
Just quickly, after that episode, I actually watched that episode in season three, and it was interesting to see how a lot of the scenes were exactly the same, like in redrawing and stuff, and then slightly different from the character's perspective. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, so it's definitely really, you know, it had some really standout episodes. And even the kind of like the final arc, which was, you know, Natsume getting together with Natori and kind of they were looking for a hidden room in the season. And I thought that was a good episode too, pretty strong. So overall, it's pretty good. And kind of like last season, a little more progress of Natsume discovering who he was, or who his grandparents were, I guess you could say. Because even at the end of that season, or the end of this season, we get a little bit of a touch that maybe someone's seen his grandfather, and who might his grandfather be? Because there's obviously that question. So that's kind of nice to see. But overall, I mean, it's Natsume. It's more Natsume. Not a lot to complain about, not a lot to super be excited about either, because again, once you've seen six season really kind of still that very episodic nature. And one thing I ended up doing is after watching the last episode is I just kind of wanted to gauge, you know, what is this series? Like what am I watching? Am I ever going to get that feeling of maybe we get more story, maybe we get more progress. And so I kind of actually started doing research on what I was watching and, I found out a couple kind of interesting things. First off, if you read the manga, the series is very different because I guess the episodic nature, they rearranged a lot. So like trying to hunt down, oh, well, this is the point in the manga. Not quite the same because like literally like I was looking at it. I think like episode 6 or 7 was way after the final episode, but they decided to use that final episode as the final episode because it felt more, I guess that particular story was easier to end on. So, that's a little bit interesting. Another thing is, I didn't know this. This is a monthly series. So if you're wondering why it's been such a long break, it's because it's monthly and they've caught up fairly close to where it's published at. So I think it's only like 4 or 5 chapters behind. So it's fairly decently close to publishing. So I wouldn't expect another season. I know we got two or three seasons pretty quick, one after the other. It was at least two seasons.
Yeah, two seasons, 5 or 6. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't expect 7 to come out, you know, within, you know, two seasons. I would expect it earliest, maybe next year. But even then, they might wait another year to publish.
I was thinking we would get another gap of like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But another thing I kind of did in research is discover the series is very intentional, which might be a little bit disheartening. In other words, the creator wants this series to be very episodic, and she wants it to be a story about her, writing about these particular kinds of ghosts and stuff, and not cover so much of the relationships and the backstory and the history of it all. So that's, in fact, apparently the series was recreated after they did a one shot of it, and mm-hmm. she did like a few chapters, and apparently she thought the chapters were way too romantic in nature, and mm-hmm. like, I don't really want to do romance. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is what it is. So I don't know, like, I feel like this is definitely a series where I could eventually not care about, but I think at the same time, the fact that there's probably going to be a 2 to 3 year gap before we get another season, at this pace, you know, whether or not I'm into anime when I'm that old, mm-hmm. at least watching as the quantity I am now, I'm getting up there, so maybe I'll not keep with it. Maybe I won't. Overall, though, it was a decent season. I thought it was better than the last season, at least. Last season, I felt very bored halfway through some of the episodes, but this season I don't really think I felt bored at all. So while there might have been an episode or two that was a little bit less interesting, it wasn't like I never really thought it was bad like last season. Like last season I was like legitimately bored for several episodes in a row.
So you're gonna stop watching when it hits season 80?
Yeah, if it's still around.
Yeah.
That would be like 8 years from now.
I wonder.
Like in space, finding space ghosts.
Like how does the Book of Friends have that many pages? It just looks like a small book.
Right. That keeps adding more. It's like now it's the notebook of friends. Or the novel of friends.
Or it's the iPad of friends.
They could be. They could. Yeah.